Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And of course, again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We lift up His name. We see people brought to a saving knowledge of Christ through preaching the Word of God and declaring the righteousness of God. And I want to again to remind you that that is what our business as Christians is to be all about. We're not here to make people know how to dress or drive cars or even how to work. We are to point men and women to Christ. We are to preach the gospel. We set the word of God before them. And then, having received Christ, then they, by His grace, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, will have the power to live a changed life. And that is that they will put on clothes, that they will work diligently, their ethics will change, the way they view things will change. Now, you can try to put make a man look like another man, or a woman look like another woman, and say, pattern your life after me, but that won't get them ready for heaven. The way that we get people ready for heaven is we preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God brings conviction upon them, and they are brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord. We must live Christ before this lost and dying world. We go into an area, take your stand for Christ, make it known that you love Him, that you want to live for Him, that you want to please Him, that you are seeking after Him, you're crying after the Lord. Make that known and watch the Lord work. As I grow older, I think of the times when I was silent when I should have been speaking, and the times when I was speaking when I should have been silent. I can't go back and change those moments, but indeed now it is my responsibility to make full use of the knowledge that the Lord has given to me about the things that are before me. So I want to encourage all to live for the Lord, to live for Christ. If you're not saved, there's an invitation I'm extending to you now. Won't you come to Christ? You have been trusting in something else. Won't you put your faith and trust in the living Son of God? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful message that, even as I say it, my heart rejoices at this message that I can give the gospel to the world. And all the people in the world will hear this gospel. If you will come to Christ, the Lord will save you. We preach the gospel. We preach Christ Jesus, crucified, buried, risen, coming again, the only Savior of the world. The religions of the world cannot satisfy your troubled heart. Only Christ Jesus the Lord can satisfy the longing heart. Put your faith and trust in Him. Receive Him today. He will save you. Father, we are so thankful again for the opportunity to have a program whereby we can visit people on a daily basis, give out the invitation of the gospel, and encourage them in the field of their service, those in their office, in the home, in the hospital, on the highway. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that Thou wouldest bless and help. Lord, honor Your people. I know that Thy word tells us that You will honor those who honor You. And so by Your grace, we are indeed endeavoring to honor the Lord, the living God, by obeying the word and declaring what thus saith the Lord. So, Father, we pray Thee to help us to rightly divide the word. Save those who are in bondage to sin. May we have boldness to declare Christ, and may we see many brought to a saving knowledge of the living God. We ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for His sake, knowing there is no other name, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, please, and let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 6 now. And perhaps we will briefly go through this one, looking at some key verses or passages or episodes in the chapter. In the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, you will find that there are several things that are mentioned. The first four or five verses, the Lord tells us of what was happening on the earth, how the earth had degenerated, how things had gone down, how that man with his knowledge. Now remember, the serpent said to Eve, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, he was saying, you'll be able to make your own choices, and the choices you make are going to be for the better. If you are able to be a god, then why don't you make things better? Well, that's not what happens with man. Man starts making his own choices and leaves God out. What happens? Man goes far, goes down, deep into sin, away from God, and his face, his name, his life is more of a reproach to God. And so eventually when we come to chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, we find the scripture saying it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that notice what happened, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord saith, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, perhaps you will have a question in your mind. Who are these sons of God and the daughters of men? Now, there are cults that will take off on this and try to build some kind of doctrine that they do posit to people, and many will follow deceitful lines of thinking. The sons of God, now you can say that this is God's line, and the daughters of men, you can say that that's the line that was born through those who did not believe the Lord. There are those, the faithful and the unfaithful. The ones who believe the Lord, these are counted as the faithful ones. Those who did not believe the Lord and sought the worldly view of things, we could call them the daughters of men. And so here it is not that angels were able to procreate, and that men were able to have children by angels, angelic beings. No, that is not what the scriptures are teaching at all. The Lord said that man would bring forth children after his kind. Now, what happens is that the minds of men is that which is affected, and their intelligence is affected. Their spirituality is affected by this. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. So again, that teaches us that this is not dealing with angelic creatures. Man also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So the Lord is saying now in 120 years, something is going to happen. And there were giants in the earth, physical giants. These could have been physical giants. Because there were giants that were born, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, and they became mighty men that were of old, men of renown. So what do we have from this marriage, or these marriages? Giants, people who have great intellect, people who have great physical stature. And what does that do? When a person grows strong and tall and powerful, what does that do in their relationship to God? Does it make them rely more on the Lord? Does it make them trust more in God? No, it makes them to trust more in themselves. It makes men to be proud and puffed up. And they go further away from the Lord, and they come to the place to where they finally say, why, we don't need God. Look at what we have done. And if you will take a person and educate him to the point of getting the highest degree in any area, and you think that that will bring him out of the fact, out of the possibility to sin, you've been deceived if you think like that. It is not education that makes a man or a woman fit for heaven. It is not education that cleanses a man's spirit and his soul. It is education can't do that. It is not culture that prepares a person to dwell in the presence of God. You know, if you were to take your child and say, well, we're going to visit the king today, we're going to visit the president today, we're going to visit some great dignitary, we're going to be in their house. Now, I want you to make sure that you behave orderly, in an orderly fashion. I want you to remember whose child you are. Don't shame me now. Well, when a man goes out to meet God, there is nothing you can tell him that will make him to be accepted in the sight of God unless that man has received Christ, unless that woman has received Christ. There is no amount of culture that will make them acceptable in the sight of God. They may know which fork to use when they're sitting at the table. They may know how to prepare, how to sleep, how to dress, and all of this. They may know when to speak and what to say, but that does not make them ready to dwell in God's presence. A man or a woman has to be born again. So when these had all of this knowledge, this information, it did not make them ready for heaven. They were men of renown. But what happened? Look again. What happens to them in verse 5? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So with all of that advancement, so to speak, what did they do with it? Did they use such knowledge? Did they use such an advantage to make them to seek after God more or to serve the Lord more? No, the Lord said he saw wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and every in imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what did they do? The knowledge they'd gained was used by them to do more sin. And that's what happens to man. The more he knows when he seeks to leave out God will be used by man to bring greater sin into the world. And he will notice the scripture said the hearts of men was only evil continually. It was like a bad water source. You turn the water on, bad water comes off out of it. You turn it off, and the only time the bad water stops flowing is when the spigot is turned off or the faucet is shut off. But as long as there is the faucet is as long as the source is there, the water is going to be filthy. And that's the heart of man. You think that you can shut off it, that can put him in shackles and make him to be good? No, it's the inside. The source of man is what makes him what he is. And so the heart of man was evil continually, and it repented the Lord. Now, the Lord did not sin that he would say he would have to repent. He changed his mind. Now, he knew what man would do, because the Lord knows everything that is going to happen in the world. And it grieved him at his heart. Now that tells me of the tenderness of our God, that he does not delight in sin. He has no part in it. He does not want us to turn to it. It grieves his heart. And if you're in sin today, you're grieving the heart of God, you can repent today. We want you to turn from your sin, receive Christ. Father, bless, I pray thee, this message. Speak to many hearts. Glorify thyself through us today, for Christ's sake. Amen. And I invite you to join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson here in Greenville, South Carolina at 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, zip code 29609. May the Lord richly bless you.